Either. You're listening to Eaters.com.
الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون وقال تعالى الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, we continue with the beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The name of Allah, one of His attributes is that He is Al-Warithu. And Al-Warithu means the one who is the supreme inheritor. The supreme inheritor. And the people of Iman are of course connected to the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from the people of Iman that they should also inherit something which is the best. And the best for the people of Iman is Jannatul Firdaus. And so we have dedicated a few sessions in understanding the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Al-Warithu, and also looking into some verses of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained very, very clearly that if these qualities are inside you, then Allah for sure will bless you with Jannatul Firdaus. And so it's very, very simple. Anyone who is familiar with the Quran, these are the beginning verses of the 18th chapter, 18th para. The name of the surah is Suratul Mu'minun, Makkiyah, revealed in the city of Makkah. And the qualities are mentioned already in the beginning verses. And so at the end Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if these qualities are inside you, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ, then without a doubt you all will be the inheritors. You all will be the inheritors. And what will Allah give you in inheritance? أَلَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. Allah is saying, I will give you Firdaus. And Firdaus is Jannatul Firdaus, the highest location and the best section of Jannah. Hum fiha khalidun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, therein you will stay eternally, all the time. And so mashallah, what we need to do is we need to make sure that these are the qualities that are inside us. So mashallah, we also have that tag in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels that these are the individuals to whom I have given Jannatul Firdaus. Now remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns Jannah, Jahannam, everything belongs to Him. It's not something that there are so many people who have Iman, first come, first serve. It's not that. Even if everyone from the Ummah decide that they want to achieve Jannatul Firdaus and they will work hard for these qualities, inshaAllah ta'ala, everyone can have Jannatul Firdaus. Everyone. And this is the shan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Rahman and He is Rahim. So inshaAllah, let us just cover a few points. And so, The first point is, of course, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Without a doubt, those believers have attained true success. أَفْلَحَ means success. مُؤْمِنُونَ means the believers. So without a doubt, those believers have attained true success. Who? الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. And so the first function that is mentioned in the Quran, the Kalam of Allah, is those who perform their salah in the most beautiful manner. Those who perform their salah in such a way that if somebody looks at them, they have admiration for those individuals, that mashallah, what a beautiful salah that person is performing. And so it is filled with khushu, concentration. And that person is also humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khashi'un means to be humble and also to show submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are points which are very, very important. I have written down here some of the precondition for salah, for a salah to be accepted. And for it to be valid, of course we know ruku is important, we know sujood is important, but there are also certain fara'is that are outside of salah that we need to know so that our salah can be perfect. Our salah can be very, very perfect. So the first quality is salah. Under no circumstances should we ever miss our salah. There is no excuse whatsoever. Subhanallah. Even if you are traveling, mashallah, ask masail to the ulama and they will guide you and they will make life easy for you. They will not make life hard for you. And they will tell you that by doing this, you can perform your salah, at least it will not be qadha. At least it will not be qadha. Namaz is the most important pillar. Without namaz, a person is nothing. So mashallah, always leave that access open that you have to perform your salah. Now, what are the preconditions for the validity of salah? Number one, the person performing salah should be in the state of purity. Should be in the state of purity. Now, it means that he must do wudu. And wudu must be done also properly. Sometimes what happens that if you are going to do wudu in a rush, there are certain parts that you have not washed properly, and this means that your wudu is not complete. It's incomplete and your salah is not valid. So for an example, when you are washing the feet, make sure that you are washing it thoroughly and properly so that water reaches everywhere. Also your elbow, when you are doing wudu, make sure that every part is also wet. Do your wudu thoroughly and properly. But it does not mean that this opens the door of doubt and suspicion. This should not open the door of doubt and suspicion, because that is also from shaitan. Shaitan also makes a person very much doubtful. And so he makes it very difficult for him, even when he is doing wudu. And so the first condition is that a person should be in that state of purity, that he must have wudu. Number two, even if he may have wudu, what he needs to understand is that the entire body should be free from any kind of impurity. Free from any kind of impurity. There is no madhi, or any kind of impurity that can come out from the human body, or that from the back passage, or even urine drops, or anything of the sort, or blood, or anything like that, the body should be clean. So you've got wudu, at the same time the body should also be very, very clean. There should be no napaki on the body. And number three, the place where you are going to perform salah, that has to be clean. So at least the prayer section, the prayer mat, that part has to be clean. Now, when we say clean, we are mukallaf of only that which is zahir, that which is apparent. So if you are somewhere in the park and you don't have a cloth, or you don't have a prayer mat, or you don't have anything like that, and you have no choice, now you just see the grass, You don't have to think that the dogs have been here and they've done something here, unless you see something clearly. Unless you see something clearly. Only then it will be considered as impure. But if there is no napaki, then this earth is pak for you. Then this earth is pak and pure. And so a person should perform his salah, making sure that that place is also very, very clean. Now, salah should also be performed in its stipulated time. In its stipulated time. Now you are in a rush and it's not asr time and you want to read asr very, very quickly. No, you can't do that. The time has to enter for every salah to be read. So these are the masail. Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitabam mawkuta. Allah says that salah is performed on its correct time. That is why Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, from all of the scholars, when it comes to salah, you will find him to be very, very strict. Very, very strict in times of salah. And number five, also to wear clothes that are appropriate. What are they? Clothes that are appropriate. Making sure that your aura is covered. Making sure that your aura is covered. And so certain concealment must be done. Sometimes you will find that a person is performing salah and is wearing a t-shirt. And so when he goes in ruku, when he goes in sajda, because he is now down, the back portion of the t-shirt will stretch up and it's not a very good sight and scene for the guys that are at the back. For the people at the back. And so, subhanallah, people come for salah and, you know, your aura is uncovered. Your aura is uncovered and somebody can see your back and your back parts, subhanallah. This is all guna. And then it becomes wajib on that person to tell him that, look, you know what, this is wrong and that your salah in this way will not be valid. And so from before, that is why our ulama always, they say, wear the right clothes when you come to the house of Allah, masjid, so that the body shape is concealed. The body shape is concealed even when you go for ruku and sujood. And another mas'ala, just for the benefit of everybody that is here. I get this question a lot of the times, especially when I have my interaction with the non-Muslims, and they are very, very quick to criticize the Muslims, and even very young boys and girls that come to visit the masjid, school boys and girls, and when you show them around, they will say that, what about women? Have women got rights? And have they got equal rights? And the question they will want to present is that why don't they perform salah with the men folks? And because they don't perform salah with the men folks, they assume that Islam has not given them equality. Islam has not given them equality. Now I'm saying this for the benefit of all the brothers that are here. In Islam, all the fara'is is gender equality. What is it? Gender equality is there. Namaz is farz for the men folks, farz for the women. If nothing else, there's concession for women. Okay. Zakat is farz for the men folks, zakat is farz for the women folks. So now, mashallah, you know, you get married to a lady who's very, very rich. Very, very rich. And she comes with all her gold and jewelry. And at the end of the year, you have to give zakat. You don't have to give zakat. She needs to give zakat. Because zakat is farz on her. So if you don't give zakat, you are not gunegar. Because that gold does not belong to you. Subhanallah. Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullah Alayh in India. MashaAllah, Ajib Buzrugan Edeen. When he got married, the girl, she came from a rich background and the father had given her a lot of jewelry. The father had given her a lot of jewelry. So when she came home, so Hazrat saw the wife, mashallah, all covered in expensive jewelry. So Hazrat said, oh, ho, 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 looks like the whole dunya is on you. looks like the whole dunya is on you. Allah wale thi Maulana Qasim, subhanAllah. What a man he was. And he said to the, and what a woman she was. What a woman she was. Today you say something to the wife and she'll, you put one question to her and she'll fire 10 answers to you. Take your pick. Wo bichara mard ek kone mein khamoshi se chupchap rehta hai puri zindagi. He becomes a Sufi to the wife and he's a wrestler to the rest of the world. He's a wrestler to the rest of the world, but to the wife he's the most pious. And what happens, Maulana Qasim Nanutvi said that, look, mashallah, at this moment there is a need for us to help the Ottoman Empire with wealth. With wealth. And so mashallah, he says, look, everything that you have, take it out. I love you for who you are. I love you for who you are. Your beauty is your beauty, bas. Inshallah, what I'm telling you is even better. So take all your jewelry out and let us give it sadaqah for the Ottomans. At that time in India, the Muslims were trying to hold on to the Islamic Khilafat of the Ottoman Empire for it not to collapse. So she said, whatever you say. That was given. Subhanallah. And then she went back home. She went. And the father said, oh, what is it? When you go after a few days, you still have to wear all the jewelry. So she said, Abba, my husband said this. So Abba, was the rich man? He goes, don't worry, beta. I'll get some more for you. So the father bought her another set of jewelry. And mashallah, she went back for the second time. When she went for the second time, Hazrat said, oh, mashallah, let us do it again, khairat. So again, she gave everything with a smile and Hazrat took everything and gave it in sadaqah. Great women. And then she understood. She understood the mizaj of the husband. They were great people. So they say, what about the rights of women in Islam? And so because men and women don't pray together, they assume, what do they say? That no rights are given to women. Remember, in Sharia, we as men are not allergic to our women. You understand? We love our women, alhamdulillah. And there is nothing wrong with holding the hands of your wife and walking with her. There is nothing wrong with that. MashaAllah, agar aapne biwi ka haath pakra aur aap haath pakar kar chal rahe, to isme kya haraj hai? There's two witnesses, she's your legal wife, MashaAllah, she's married to you. And this will enhance love. The only reason in Sharia that a woman is separated and a man is separated, because in Islam the manner of salah is very physical. What is it? So we have to stand shoulder to shoulder, your thigh must be touching the thigh with the person to the right, this thigh must be touching to the person on the left. So you do ruku, your sujood. Now imagine if a lady is there praying salah in front or in between the men folks, and then you have to touch her and this man has to touch her, and it would be quite difficult. It will be very, very uncomfortable for her. What is it? Just like you have dancing classes amongst them only for women, yoga classes only for women, gymnastic classes only for women. So you have all classes just for women, because subhanallah, in Islam salah is the only prayer in which it's all about touching each other. What is it? Touching each other. And because a woman is very, very sacred, that is why we say that women should perform their salah with women and men should perform their salah with men, so that everybody is very, very comfortable. Imagine, bichari, a lady who is not married, 18, 19 year old, she comes to the masjid and then she has to perform salah in between ghair maharim. It would be very, very difficult. Somebody after salah, you're praying sunnat namaz, and then the person in front of you might be a lady, she's in sajda, and you're behind her doing ruku and qiyam. It is all wrong. So in Sharia, Allah is Hakim. What is He? Allah is Hakim, and the laws of Islam are beautiful. The laws of Islam are very, very beautiful. And so, subhanallah, understanding that, some of the masail, that our clothes, we should cover the awrah. Number 6, facing Qibla. Qibla is also very, very... Now if you're traveling, and you don't know where the Qibla is, then do an estimation. What is it? Try your level best to guess. Now, nowadays it's very easy to know where the Qibla is with your mobile phone. So facing the Qibla is also farz. And number 7, the intention should be made by the muqtadi. If he is praying behind an imam, so he must have in his heart that I am doing iqtida of this imam. Unless he is performing salah alone. So these are the 7 preconditions for the validity of your salah. And so salah is very, very important. And we need to make sure that we repair our salah. If it is damaged, we still have time, we should repair our salah. In Saudi Arabia, in a city called Shumran, the government actually wanted to lay down new roads. So obviously the mapping was done where the roads will be, and they had an idea that the main road will go from this end to another end. So it was all done, but there was just one issue. There was one very old cemetery in that area, which was an obstruction for the new roads to be laid out. So they consulted the Muftiyan-e-Izam, and they said that, look, to exhume the bodies and to transfer, it's fine, but you have to also take permission from the family members. So what they did, they took families' permission, okay, look, this is what we want, there are a few qabars in that area, it's an old cemetery, only a few qabars, so if we can maybe transfer the marhumin from this side to another location. So they all agreed, theek. And so everything was covered, and then they started digging and they removed the bodies. And of course the bodies had been there for a very long time. It's very, very hot. You know, the bodies were deformed, decayed, and there's also smell there. And everything was removed on one side. However, the last body was a body of a very, very young man. And it was quite ajeeb that when they looked at the condition of all the other bodies as compared to this man, and this, he was a young boy who had passed away 30 years ago. How many years ago? Now 30 years ago in Arabia with the heat, what would remain? But what they saw is that, subhanallah, the mayyit is such that as if he is sleeping and he was buried just last night. The kafan is fresh, intact, and there is smell of fragrance that is coming out. Subhanallah. In our Akabir and Buzrugan Deen in Pakistan, there is a sheikh called, who has passed away, Maulana Abdullah Darkhasti. What is his name? Maulana Abdullah Darkhasti. He is Hafiz-e-Hadith. He is Hafiz-e. So he would read every hadith to you off by heart. And he was Ajib Sahib-e-Karamat Buzrug. Ajib Allah had given him. So once he said that in my lifetime I have prayed many janazas, but I had seen in 2 people's janaza where the angels had cried. Ajib. Look at the taqwa of this man. What a buzrug he was, you know. Ajib. Maulana Abdullah Darkhasti. This ummah, subhanallah. Ajib, muttaqeen people. And he said, I have noticed that the angels cried at the janaza of Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori. Now, this will go again another way. I don't want to talk about Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori. But Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori and Maulana Haq Nawaz. Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori and Maulana Haq Nawaz. So sometimes Allah shows people. So this young boy, everything, janaza intact, covered, the cloth white, subhanallah, as milk. Everyone was shocked. So one of the workers there, local man, he said that, you know, this young boy, I know him. And in fact, I know the father, who is a very old man, still alive. So they decided that, look, you know, why don't we go and tell the father? So they went and told the father. And so as they were transferring the mayyit from one end to another end, the father also came to that location. And then they lifted up his janaza, and the father was a very old man, and he sat down, and they put the head of the boy who passed away 30 years ago on the lap of the father. And they opened his face. And the face was like Nurani face, and he was smiling. So the father started to cry, and he says, Alhamdulillah, all praises to my Allah, that even after 30 years, Allah has made me do mulaqat with my son again. Allah has made me do mulaqat with my son again. And so he looked at the body. The father was so happy. And then, mashallah, they buried him. Then, in the night, this entire group came to this man's house and they said, Sheikh, you know, what is so unique and amazing about your son? So the father was an old man. He said, let me tell you what is unique about my son. My son, from reaching the age of maturity, had not missed out even one salah. And that his every effort was to read salah with takbirat, takbir-e-ula. Because where his house was, the masjid was in front. So to read with takbir-e-ula, that is his aim. So the father said, I don't have no doubt this ikram and honor that is given to my son is because of his salah. That is why in the hadith it comes that your salah protects you from the azab of qabr. Salah protects you from the azab of qabr. Salah is very important, very important. My young friends that are here, mashallah, whatever you are doing in your life, that Allah knows. But the one thing you do is salah is our lifeline. Salah is our oxygen. If you don't read salah, you are as good as mayyit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this the first condition for a person to enter into Jannatul Firdaus. Can you imagine that? The first condition for a person to enter Jannatul Firdaus is salah. That is how beautiful salah is. And then the second condition, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. The second condition, we started this last week. And those who turn away from useless speech and activities. Those who turn away from useless speech and activities. And so these are people who guard themselves. Who guard themselves. That is why one man came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, O Nabi of Allah, what is the most harmful thing for me that you can think of? First, there was another question, but this was the last part of his question. Otherwise, it will be very long, the hadith. What is the most harmful thing for me that you think? And he said, Huzur alayhi salatu was salam touched his tongue. Or in another narration, it could also mean that the Ravi, the narrator, was touching his tongue. And he was pointing to the tongue. That this is the most destructive thing. This. So turn away, be very, very careful. Be very, very careful as to what you speak. And to turn away from things that are useless. Useless speech and useless activities. Now, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us how we should communicate and how we should speak. How we should speak. Listen to the beautiful hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kullu kalam ibn Adam alayhi la lahu. That everything that is uttered by the son of Adam will be held against him, not in his favor. What did he say? Everything that is uttered by the son of Adam will be held against him, not in his favor. But only, and he mentioned three things, and these are the three things that Sharia gives us to make kalam on. Illa amrun bima'rufin, aw nahyun an munkarin, aw dhikrullah. Allah's Nabi is saying, if you want to talk, that is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those that would describe him, they would say Allah's Nabi would remain silent for hours. For hours he would be quiet. Now you'd wonder, a man who's got a mission, but he's silent. And so he would stay quiet. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man samata naja. You know, if you don't open your mouth, you will be saved. You don't open your mouth, you will be saved. Because what you say has to be precise and accurate. It's very, very dangerous what you say. So Sharia says there's only three things what you can do if you want to open your mouth. One is amr bil ma'ruf, that you only invite to that which is good, or you give good advice, or you want to speak something that is of benefit, bas. Aw nahyun an munkar, or you forbid evil, or you are stopping somebody, or you are doing something to benefit an individual, there is no other harm that is going to happen to anybody. Or the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is also mentioned, min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. From the beauty of one's Islam is that he leaves everything that does not concern him. He leaves everything that does not concern him. Subhanallah, if it doesn't concern you. Oh, now, you know, bichare, what's that scholar in America? Famous speaker. Ji? No, another one. Noaman Ali Khan. Kya hai? Noaman Ali Khan. Allahu Akbar. The people started sending messages, oh, this is there, this is about his own private life. Are bhai, does it concern you? Is it of your concern? Is Noaman Ali Khan related to you and I? Why? Why are we so inquisitive? Sharia does not give you permission. Sharia does not give you and I the permission to even blink about something which is of no concern. Allah will not even ask you what is happening to your neighbors. If it is their private matter, you don't have to be inquisitive, because that has got nothing to do with you. Nothing whatsoever. A person should be so clean like water and zamzam. His akhlaq must be so straight, subhanallah, that from me no harm will come to anybody. Allah protect everybody. This is what people do. Anybody bichara who is doing any kind of khidmat or anything, by who is not faulty in this world, you tell me. Are we perfect people? No. We are all faulty. But the problem with our community is that we don't contain things. What is it? We don't contain things. And this is what Islam is telling us. That means husni islamil mar'i. Why do you want extra burden on your head? Why? Just be concerned of fulfilling the commandments of Allah. Be engaged in acquiring sacred knowledge. Anything that is unproductive, non-essential, turn away from that. And that is why I say to my young friends, if there is no need, you know, you're not a businessman or things like that, and you don't need Instagram or Facebook or Snapchat or anything of the sort, or even WhatsApp or anything like that, then the best policy in life is to stay and cut yourself away from these things. It will give you sukoon. What is it? It will give you sukoon. Subhanallah, it will give you sukoon. But if there is a need, there is a necessity, then we all know sometimes there are things that are very funny, inspiring, but we all know at the same time there is something there that is going to corrupt you, that is going to corrupt us. Corrupt contents are even in the message there. So we have to be very, very careful. We should not just allow this amanat of time just to go away, just like how ice is melting. Subhanallah. Because life is only once, my brothers. You live once. We will not be given an opportunity again. Not again. Who knows? It can be today I'm speaking to you. I might not even be sitting on the pulpit next week. Who knows? You are sitting here today. You might not even be here for the next few days. Allah knows what is going to happen. And so this is what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Why should you waste your energy, this amanat? And there is this very beautiful verse of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Isra, وَلَا تَكْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. And do not follow that thing about which you have no knowledge. We don't have no knowledge of a lot of the things that come to us. And then the Quran says, verily, your ears, your eyes, and your hearts that Allah has given you, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will personally interrogate them. Allahu Akbar. Look at the verses of the Quran. That the eyes and the heart will be interrogated. Why? Let me tell you why, my respected brothers. Because the eyes are camera. Are cameras. What is it? The eye is like a camera. Every time you see something, The lens is, the eyes capture an image. What do? They capture an image that you have seen, and it is stored in the heart. If I am looking at you, I have captured your image, it is stored in my heart. Whatever you read, whatever you see, whatever you hear, everything by the night, everything is stored where? In this data. It's all in this drive, hard drive. What is it? In the heart. And if you are in the habit of stocking up filth in the heart, then it is only filthy things that you will dream about. And it is only filthy things that a person will think about. Because the images that have been taken are all filthy. But if it is pure and good things that the mind is capturing, the heart is capturing, the eyes are capturing, then subhanallah, it will be the best thing. So we have to be very careful. Number three, the third task. And inshallah, this will be the only task that we will cover today. And so inshallah, just bear with me for a few minutes. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ Allah says, those who are the performers of zakah. Those who are the performers of zakah. So zakat is an obligation. First, you perform your salah, repay your salah. Number two, stay away from useless speech and activities. Number three, you give zakat. And this ulama say, not only give zakat, it means that a Muslim should be very, very generous when it comes to his wealth. Should be very generous when it comes to his wealth. Now, just mas'ala for the benefit of the community. Usually, you will find, zakat is farz. What is it? In another verse of the Quran, Allah has said, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَى Verily, sadaqat is for the fuqara. In the Quran, sadaqah and zakat is used for the same term. So whether you say sadaqah or whether you say zakat, it is the same in the Quran. The Quranic terminology. So zakat and sadaqah is the same. Now what is the difference between sadaqah and zakat that we know of in the community? Remember that sadaqah is of two types. Sadaqah is of two types. One is sadaqah wajibah. Sadaqah wajibah. This sadaqah wajibah is zakat, sadaqah fitr, fidya, and udhiyah. What is it? So for an example, sadaqatul fitr, you've missed your salah, and so you have to give fitrana or fidya for that. And so udhiyah, this category is called sadaqah wajibah. What is it? Sadaqah wajibah. And this is farz. So when you give zakat, you have to make somebody malik. What is it? It's called tamlik. So that man should have the ownership of the wealth that you have given him. And anything besides that, it is called sadaqah nafila. What is it? Sadaqah. So for an example, if a person is giving money so that Allah save me from musibah, this is nafal. What is it? All this is sadaqah. Sadaqah nafila can be given to anybody. Sadaqah nafila can be given to anybody. There is no condition for tamlik that you need to make somebody also a malik. Now, generally when you go to the masjid, you'll find three boxes. How many boxes? Three boxes. One box is zakat. What is it? Zakat. Zakat here talks about the farz that you have to give every year. You put your money in there. The second is sadaqah. Now because it is separated, sadaqah and zakat, it is assumed that the masjid has made intention that this sadaqah is nafal sadaqah. What is it? Nafal sadaqah. So for an example, somebody is giving for protection, somebody is not well and you're giving sadaqah. So you give your sadaqah there. And the third box talks about lillah. When lillah is in a masjid, it is assumed that this lillah is money towards the running of the masjid, maintenance of the masjid, anything to do with the masjid. So, for a person, just for him to understand. So, if somebody gave sadaqah nafila, and so for an example, there is a container that you have to take from this country to another country. So, somebody will say, Mauli Sahab, you know, can we use zakat money? So, no, you can't use zakat money, because zakat money has to have ownership. And so who is the ownership here? Unless you find an owner. But you can use nafal sadaqah. What is it? Nafal sadaqah can be used for this. Nafal sadaqah can be used for this. Now sadaqah, my respected brothers, just for us to understand and to take something away. How many brothers are working here? Can you lift up your hands, employed? And how many are, uncha kare na, I'm not going to do chanda, bhai, don't worry. I don't want to take money from anybody here. Okay. So basically all of you are working. There was a man in Saudi Arabia, his salary was 4,000 riyals. How much? 4,000 riyals. But 4,000 riyals, he was a man who had a big family and it was not enough for him. So every time he would work 4,000 riyals, he would end up in debt. So he would need to borrow money from other people, and by the time the next month came, he had to borrow again money, and that he incurred a lot of debt, and he was finding it very, very hard, that bus 4,000 riyals and he can't manage to, you know, take care of his family and the cost of his family. So one day he went to the majlis of ulama that were there, and so he went to one of the sheikhs there and he said, Hazrat, you know what, I'm finding it very difficult. You know, 4,000, my monthly salary is not enough for me, and I've got so much debt. You know, is there a solution? Is there something? So the sheikh said to him, yes, there is. I want you to take out from your salary every month an amount of sadaqah out. An amount of? So he said, Sheikh, here I haven't got money to pay the people who I owe money to, and you want me to take out nafal money sadaqah? He goes, yeah, do that. I'm telling you, you will become very rich. You will become very rich. He goes, no, I can't. He goes, no. Now, mashallah, you know, some men are blessed with good wives. What are they? Some men are blessed with good wives. These wives are very important. If you get the right woman, oh, subhanallah, she is not only your wife, she is your best friend. So now this man was blessed with a good woman, good wife. So he went home and she said, what happened? You went to the majlis, did you speak to the sheikh? He goes, yeah, I spoke to the sheikh. You know what the sheikh said? The money that you have, your salary, take out sadaqah, stipulate an amount and give it sadaqah. So she said, subhanallah, that is the solution, very good. And so he says, are you crazy? He goes, no, I'm not crazy. And so she said to calm him, why don't you try this for a few months? Why don't you try it? As it is, we've got debt, try it for a few months. So they decided from 4,000 riyals, you know how much they will give in the path of Allah as sadaqah, nafal sadaqah, how much? 30. How many riyals? 30. Only 30 riyals. From 4,000 they will give 30 riyals. It is said that every month this man gave 30 riyals. Every month. This man says that within 3-4 months Allah opened the doors of rizq so much that he found another partner and he did side business and mashallah there was barkat in the house and he became so rich. And I personally have encountered this with certain friends and close people, and that when they were saying and they started doing this and they said, Maulana, everywhere else business is down but Allah is giving us booming business. So every day whatever their intake, some people have become such that every day intake, every day, no, zakat is once in a year, but every day intake they would take out. Every day intake they would take out. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. And this will only replenish your wealth and it will only increase your wealth. Sadaqah. So sadaqah, this is what the Quran is saying. Don't think by giving your money you will have nothing. Now, very quickly, sadaqah is not just by money. Sadaqah is not just by money. In case somebody is not too wealthy and he can't give a lot, but then the options are open. Sadaqah is not just by giving money. So I have taken out here from the hadith of Huzur alayhi salam the things that are also sadaqah. Number one, you make dua for yourself and dua for others, that is sadaqah. You making dua for your family, it is sadaqah. You making dua for your friend, it is sadaqah. So when a person who gave in the path of Allah, Now you make dua for somebody that is equal to giving in the path of Allah. How beautiful is that? Knowledge. All of you are sitting here. Why are you sitting here? You could have been Friday night in the restaurant, London Road, Evington Road. You know, you might be doing some sport somewhere, any activities, but then you receive my text message as, oh, Mauli sahab bula rahe, you know, jana padega, kya kare. So you come. But then imagine for 1 hour you have been giving sadaqah. Subhanallah, sadaqah and sadaqah. Ajeeb. Giving good advice is sadaqah. To smile at your Muslim brother is sadaqah. You haven't got time to perform salah and there you are out to help your Muslim brother. That is sadaqah. To give time, how important is that? To give time to your Muslim brother. It says that is sadaqah. Tarbiyah, you are looking after your children. You know, your wife goes and she takes them to school, brings them, you look after them, giving them everything they need. Tarbiyah, that is sadaqah. You are doing sabr of some difficulty that came to you. That is sadaqah. To stop somebody from evil, that is sadaqah. Subhanallah, look at Sharia. Even to talk to somebody softly, nicely, beautifully, with love, that is sadaqah. Subhanallah. And to forgive someone, to forgive. Someone has done something bad to you and you forgive him, sadaqah. It is like giving a blank check in the path of Allah. Oh, it is like building a masjid. It was so hard for you to forgive him. But instantly you forgive him. And you think, this is my sadaqah. To show respect, sadaqah. To be part of someone's happiness. To make somebody happy all of a sudden. To surprise him and to make him happy. To visit the sick. To visit the sick. Sadaqah. Remove harmful things from the path. So you're outside, something is harmful, you remove it. And to guide someone on the right path, that is also sadaqah. Subhanallah. This is our beautiful deen. And so we've covered three things. So these are the three things, and inshallah, just one or two points more for us to inshallah enter into Jannatul Firdaus. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bari ta'ala, we are talking about Jannatul Firdaus, ya Allah, by your rahmat, by your mercy, by the barakat of these ayat. Allah, we and all our family members and our loved ones and all that we, the entire ummah, ya Allah, everybody in Leicester, mashallah, our family members, ya Allah, grant us all Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah. بس ٹائم کچھ زیادہ لیا ہے دعا کر لیں. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب اليك. اے مولا یا رحمان یا رحیم یا اللہ, ہم مسکین ہے, غریب ہے, فقیر ہے, تیرے محتاج ہے اللہ. یہاں یا اللہ لوگ بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں یا اللہ تیرے دین کو سیکھنے کے لیے, نوجوان لوگ ہیں, دن کو کام کیا, رات کو عشاء کی نماز پڑھی, تھکے ہوئے ہیں یا اللہ, لیکن تیری رضا کے لیے ہم سب بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں اللہ. ہمارے پاس کوئی بھی نیکی نہیں ہے یا اللہ, تو تو بہانہ ڈھونڈتا ہے اللہ. یہ مجلس ہماری بہانہ بن جائے, ہم سب کو جنت الفردوس دے اللہ. تو بڑا بادشاہ ہے, بادشاہوں کا بادشاہ ہے, تو رحیم ہے, تو ارحم الراحمین ہے, تیرے خزانے میں کوئی کمی نہیں ہے اللہ, تیرے خزانے میں کوئی کمی نہیں ہے یا اللہ. تو مالک الملک ہے یا اللہ, یا رحمان یا رحیم یا اللہ. ہمیں جہنم کی آگ سے بچا, جہنم کی آگ سے بچا, جہنم کی آگ سے بچا اللہ. ہمیں جنت چاہیے, لیکن سب سے اعلیٰ جنت چاہیے, جنت الفردوس دے دے اللہ, جنت الفردوس دے دے اللہ, جنت الفردوس دے دے ہم سب کو, دے دے ہم سب جنت الفردوس میں داخل ہو جائے بلا حساب و کتاب, ہمارے گھر والوں کے ساتھ, ہمارے بچوں کے ساتھ, ہمارے دوستوں کے ساتھ, ہمارے اہل و عیال کے ساتھ, ہمارے رشتہ داروں کے ساتھ, جن کے ساتھ ہمارا تعلق ہے, وہ سب ہمارے ساتھ آ جائے. اللہ کریم, نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی برکت سے اور آپ کے طفیل میں یا اللہ, ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. سمعنا و اطعنا غفرانک ربنا و الیک المصیر برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین.